Good morning.
Let me invite you to stand as we sing together our gathering hymn, O Come, All Ye Faithful, the text of which is printed in your order of service. Let us stand together.
Be seated.
The Lord be with you. It's good to be back with you today. I was asked if I would come and fill in for Mark. And when I walked in, the first person to greet me was Mark. I said, "Man, what are you doing here?" Well, I couldn't think of any better place to go to church. So, but anyway, it's good to be back and reconnect with our friends here at Murfreesboro. Let me draw your attention to some of the opportunities for the week. Still collecting the Global Missions offering throughout this month, and since this is the 31st, I'm assuming that this is it, right? You see how to make your checks and mark the offering Global Missions. Communion will be next Sunday for Epiphany. Keep that in mind. You see the announcement there about child care for children under the age of 5. And if you'll see Sarah Davis. And hello, Sarah. I didn't speak to you before worship. Super Bowl of Caring is coming up. And you know what this is. Kids bring, well, not just kids. Everybody brings cans of soup to put in the connector. Between now and February 11th, the goal is 250 cans. And I can't remember how many you got last year. How many did you get last year? 235. 15 more cans. Come on. You know, you can do that. Run down to Sam's one day and just, you know, help yourself. But keep that in mind. Hope that you'll participate in that. Installation service for Mark will be held on Sunday the 14th. So please plan to be here for that. And then the food pantry is in need of some volunteers. So I hope that you'll look at that announcement and plan to sign up to help with this most important ministry. Again, we're here on the last day of the year. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. And I saw on the news the other night where everybody wants to get married today because it just only happens like once every forever. And so, but we're glad you chose to be here on New Year's Eve to celebrate worship. And with that in mind, we're going to move forward. And I will invite you to stand again as we share our call to worship, remaining standing through the first hymn of praise. Let us stand together. When Jesus was born to Mary and Joseph, when Jesus is presented at the temple, when Simeon holds Jesus in his arms, when Anna recognizes Jesus in the temple, this very morning, in the future we cannot see. Let us worship God. Let us pray together. Holy God, we long for your peace and trust in your promise. We hear your call to turn toward you, to change our lives, and to welcome you in. Meet us here and fill our hearts and minds with your wisdom and with your peace, that our worship together may open us to the challenges of your dream and of wholeness for all. And we make this prayer in the name of the one who has come and is coming back, Jesus Christ. Amen. We invite you now to turn your hymnals to 143, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Be seated.
Season, we can still say Merry Christmas. Now, we know that sometimes when we really, really want something, we might pray for it, right?
Yeah.
Is there something you've ever prayed for that you really, really wanted?
No.
What? You don't know? Well, there were a lot of people, and the Israelites and the Jewish people were praying for a Savior. And one of them was named Simeon, and Simeon lived at the temple, and he got to be a very, very old man. Do you know what happened 8 days after Jesus was born? His parents took him to the temple to bless him, and Simeon got to meet him. And Simeon was very, very old, but he had waited so long, he was so happy to finally meet baby Jesus. And sometimes we have to wait a while to get things we want, right? And Simeon waited a very long time, and the Jewish people waited a very long time to be saved. But we know that we have a Savior. And we know that for the 12 days of Christmas, we can be thankful that that baby came to us, right? Yeah. And we know that that baby's going to lead to a story later on. Our salvation through his death on the cross, right?
Yes.
Let's say a prayer. Dear God, thank you for sending your son to save us. Thank you for allowing Simeon to see the baby. In your son's name, amen.
Thank you, Sarah. Our Old Testament lesson today comes from Isaiah, and I'll be reading from three different chapters, not in the order that they're in your order of service. I'll be reading chapter 7, verse 14 first, and then chapter 9, verse 6, and then 61, and I will read verses 1 through 3 rather than verse 6. Okay. Isaiah 7, 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. And then Isaiah 9, 6. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and his name, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And then from Isaiah 61. Verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Prayer is an essential part of who we are in our relationship to God, as well as the experience of worship. It's actually, as you know, how we commune with God's Spirit, how we talk to Him, how we listen to Him. We bring our requests and concern to Him. Why? Because the Word tells us that's what we're to do. He wants us to do that. He expects us to do that. Giving thanks to Him for His blessings and praise for His glorious attributes. Through prayer, we grow closer to God. And in some respects, many respects, to each other. And we receive a definite understanding, a deeper understanding of His will for each of our lives. So as we go to the Lord in prayer here in just a moment, let's remember Yvonne and Brad Warren, continuing to pray for Faye Jenkins, Ben Braxton, Brooker's nephew, who's recuperating at home in Greensboro, and prayers for Doug Cobb and family, the passing of his wife. And I would add the family of the trooper who was killed last night in Greensboro. Very unfortunate and sad situation for that family. I believe his last name was Nix, N-I-X. So let's spend a time in silent prayer remembering these requests, praying for yourself, praying for each other, asking God's blessings on congregation as you continue to move forward under Mark's leadership, and pray for Mark and his family as well. So let us take a moment of silent prayer, and then I will lead us. Let us pray. God, in a world that seems to have gone crazy and lost its way, we come to you this morning not just seeking answers, but seeking strength and courage for the days that lie ahead. We pray for courage to be the people you have called us to be, who seek justice and peace through your love for all people, who struggle with questions that seem to have no answers and problems that seem to have impossible solutions. We are a deeply divided nation, And as we look and listen to people around the world, so many seem divided and at war with one another, either through words or worse, through guns and killing. Surely we humans must test your patience, but we know that your love is all-encompassing, never-ending, always, always forgiving. This is our hope, Father, that you continue to love us unconditionally. For we know and struggle with our imperfections and our shortcomings and our failures. We know all the while that in the end it is you who loves us most and is always there waiting for us. For you're our hope in the world, and it is in this hope that we truly live and move and have our being. Father, as we move into a new year, we ask that you help us be change agents in our world. However large our personal world might be, give us the courage to speak out about our faith, to teach those around us about your love for all people, and to lead by example, showing and speaking with respect to others. All these things we ask in the name of the Prince of Peace, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. I'll invite you now to stand, turning to hymn number 123, our hymn of thanksgiving, While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks. Hebrews 13:16, we read, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." God wants us to give what we can, when we can. He knows that sometimes our circumstances make it difficult to give as much as we would like. But He sees and honors every sacrificial gift. And every gift can produce thanksgiving in our hearts. You may be seated. Pray. You have said that whatever we give is acceptable if we give it eagerly. You have said that we should give according to what we have. Help us to continually bring our offerings with an eager heart, not just as a comparison with others, but as an act of worship and obedience to you. May we find the comfort we desire in you and the strength we need in your name. May your presence continue to be with us, not just during this hour, but every hour of every day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The gospel lesson today comes from Luke chapter 2. I'll be reading from verses 25 to 38. Now there's a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came to the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to the mother, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul too." There also was prophet Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow, to age 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there and fasting and prayed day and night. At the moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. The word of the Lord. Praise his holy name.
Did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kissed your little baby, then you kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am.
Well, you know, one of the things I like about Christmas is considering the people that aren't the focal point of the birth narrative. You know, we focus on, of course, Gabriel, you know, and then it's Mary and Joseph. And then for a brief moment, it's the innkeeper. And then it's the shepherds. And then legend and culture has thrown in the wise men, although they didn't come till a few years later. But Baptists don't like to hear that. I got to tell you this story. Edwin has heard this 100 times. When I was at Memorial Baptist Church, Larry Hovis was the pastor. And we had this beautiful nativity. I mean, it was, you know, figurines. It was huge. So, excuse me, when it was put up, everybody got put on there. The wise men, shepherds, Mary and Joseph, baby, you know, the whole deal. So Larry and I were in the sanctuary one day, and I hope certain people don't hear this. We were in the sanctuary one day, and we were talking about the issue, you know, that, you know, biblically, when you read in Matthew, it says the wise men, when they came to the house, it didn't say when they came to the stable, or the manger, when they came to the house. So we took the wise men off the table and put them in the vestibule. Because they were coming from the east, although it was more like northeast, maybe. Well, the person that decorated was not real happy about that. But anyway, we focus on those people. And next Sunday's Epiphany, and I don't know what Mark's going to preach, but I'm sure he will, you know, brush up against the wise men a little bit. But I like to think about other people, like the innkeeper, like his wife, like his daughter. What were these people thinking? What were the shepherds talking about before the angels came? And after they left, what did they do? To me, Simeon and Anna are kind of like that, but we know more about them than we do the others, because I just read that text from Luke 2 that gives us the description. You see, the birth had been difficult for people to believe, especially for the Jews, because of what they had experienced during the 400 years of silence between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New. You know, we don't think about that, do we? You know, we go to the end of the New Testament, we flip over and there's Matthew, and we get ready to talk about Jesus. There was 400 years there with nothing. It's like God didn't even speak to anybody. There were no prophecies much. There's just nothing going on. Then all of a sudden, this Messiah that everybody had heard about for centuries and prophets had spoke of, that I read from Isaiah and others, you want me to believe this? It's been 400 years. You know, and I think about the world today where we are, and, you know, every time stuff happens in the Middle East, everybody jumps on the, this is the end time bandwagon. You know, turn on this channel and you can see a wall chart that gives it all right there. You know, everybody knows when Jesus is coming back, except Jesus, because God hasn't told him yet. But if Jesus would consult with some of the folks we see on TV, they might give him an idea when that might happen. But no, think about it. 400 years, and then Jesus appears. We're in 2023. 400 years ago was 1623. That was closer to Jesus walking on earth than it is now. So when you think about it, 2,000 years is nothing. So, you know, I don't think we should discount, but I don't think we should assume that we know more than God does. The point is, we just got to be ready every day. And it doesn't matter. But it was hard for these folks. And, you know, sometimes I wonder if Mary and Joseph had the same problem. Rome had conquered Jerusalem in 63 B.C. There was a sense of peace in the world, the known world. So things were pointing toward this, and it was a good time. But again, we got to remember that God fulfills His promise in His own way and His own timetable. Galatians 4, 4 and 5 says, "But in the fullness of time, when the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law in order to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as children." Historians suggest that this particular time was a good time, as I said, because Rome had brought peace to the entire region. There was a road system that facilitated travel throughout that known world at the time, which allowed the gospel message to be reached to the furthest parts of the Roman Empire. The Greek civilization provided a trading language that was adopted so people could hear the gospel in their language. With all this as a backdrop for Jesus' birth, the fullness of time, these two folks, Mary and Joseph, devout believers, took Jesus to the temple and met two more devout believers. Simeon, a righteous and devout man. Anna, a prophetess. Both of them would qualify to be in the senior adult group. Older adults. The Holy Spirit had assured Simeon that he would not die until he'd seen the Messiah. For Anna, the text says she'd been a widow many years. Suffice it to say that these two people had been waiting and waiting and waiting, having been promised to see the Messiah, and not giving up hope that it was going to happen. They waited believing that the Messiah's birth would happen because God had spoken it through the prophets of the Old Testament. Despite the 400 years of silence, they continued to believe. For you see, a devout person believes the Word of God and obeys it. Luke seems to take extra effort to highlight this in this passage I just read, as well as back in the birth narrative. For example, Luke 2:15, "The shepherds said to each other, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" Not, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see if this is for real." You know, "Let's go to Bethlehem just to check this out, because I don't know about this." No, "Let us go and see this thing that God has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And what did Mary do? She treasured all these things up in her heart and kept them. So being devoted Jews, Mary and Joseph circumcised Jesus on the eighth day as instructed in Leviticus 12:3. And then according to the law, when Jesus was 40 days old, they dedicated him at the temple. And it is this time that Simeon and Anna had persevered in their faith to the extent that they were rewarded. Simeon and Anna believed the prophecies of God and waited and persevered in their faith even during that long period of time when nothing was going on. Remember, we're on this side of the story. We don't know what they knew about the actual birth event. We don't know what they'd heard. We don't know anything about that. And it's easy to forget that when we're on this side and we're reading what what had happened. If we had been there, you know, did Simeon and Anna, did they hear a conversation about, did you hear about what happened in Bethlehem? No, what happened? Well, supposedly, they didn't, you know, we don't know if they heard any of that or not. So we can assume they didn't. Yet their faith assured them that something was going on. They were part of the unfolding work of God's Spirit in the lives of the devout. For as I said, the devout see Jesus. When Simeon saw the child, he took him in his arms and praised God. Even as an infant, he recognized Jesus. He didn't know Mary and Joseph. He'd never met them. He saw this young couple with this 40-day-old baby, and he went up to them, and he recognized Jesus as an infant. Now, I don't know about you, but 40-day-old babies to me all look alike. You know, I've jokingly said that all little babies look like Yul Brynner. You know, because a lot of them don't have a lot of hair and, you know, just all look. But he looked at that baby and he knew that child was the promised Messiah, having never seen them before. When Anna saw the child, she came up at that very moment and gave thanks to God. She recognized Jesus and started talking about him to those nearby. She recognized him as well and just didn't praise as Simeon did. She went around to everybody else. Hey, you know who's over here? Let me tell you who's over here. Now, they probably just ignored her as some crazy lady that didn't know what she was talking about. How do I know that? Because that's exactly what we would do. That is exactly what we would do. Both of them, however, were led by God to recognize Jesus. This six-week-old baby, being able to see what nobody else in the temple saw that day. Why? Because everybody else was too caught up in their own affairs. By the temple routines, by their own buying their own sacrifices and make sure they had the right ones. Engaged in other things to take their focus away so they could not see or understand what was happening right in front of them. And again, just like us. For only those with eyes of faith can see him. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "From there you will seek the Lord with your God, and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and all your soul." So let me suggest to us that we not become so preoccupied and self-consumed by our own lives that we lose sight of Jesus' presence in our life. And that's easy to do. It's easy for everybody to do. From ministers to everybody else. It's easy to do. Let's remember that he is present all the time. Our problem is we're too distracted to see him. But having seen the Messiah, Simeon was so satisfied, he said the Lord could dismiss him in peace. Lord, you promised me you would keep me until I was able to see the Messiah. I have seen him. You may dismiss me in peace. Again, Anna, she lost her husband after only 7 years of marriage, a widow with no support, and culturally and socially at that time on the bottom rung of the ladder of society and culture. Yet she wasn't a woman filled with bitterness and resentment or sorrow. She worshiped the Lord day and night, fasting and praying and enjoying the presence of the Lord every day. Every day. Not just from 11 to 12 on Sunday, or 10 to 12 if you come to Bible study, which everybody should do, by the way. Every day she was at the temple. And she too saw the Messiah as a fulfillment of God's promise. So this is the account of two very fulfilled people who persevered in their faith, for which God rewarded them. After a 400-year period of silence, or a drought, if you will, of prophecy. During a speech at the March 4th, 1993 ESPY Awards, Jim Valvano, who was battling cancer at the time, made a statement that's still true today when he said, and you know what it is, don't give up, don't ever give up. Don't give up, don't ever give up. Let me encourage all of us that as we look toward this new year, may we all recommit ourselves to be faithful and obedient in our prayer lives, our scripture reading, our faithfulness in our daily living. Not to become distracted. God is and always present in the lives of His children. To keep faithfully moving forward behind Christ, knowing that if we, as reminded by Solomon in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, in all our ways submit to Him, and He will direct our paths. Amen. Let us pray. Father, I thank You for this day and for the opportunity to share with our friends. And I pray that as we spend the last few hours of this year, that Father, we will recommit ourselves to You in the year to come, to be who You've called us to be. Forgive us, Lord, where we failed You, because we all have in many, many ways. And it would be great if we could say we'll never fail You again, but we will before we lay our head down tonight. But Father, thank You for Your faithfulness to us in spite of those times of lack of faithfulness on our part. I pray now that as we sing our final hymn, that You will help us reflect on who You want us to be individually and as a congregation in 2024. And again, may we commit ourselves to that calling as we share a hymn together. In Christ's name, amen. I invite you to come if you feel led by the Spirit of God to come forward. I told Mark, I told Mark I wasn't going to ask him to do anything, but since he's here, Mark, I'm going to ask you to stand at the front if you don't mind doing that, okay? As we sing our hymn of response, 125, Angels We Have Heard on High.
Yeah.
thank you for allowing us to be here today. Mark, thank you for the invitation. And it's good to see you. We trust and pray that we all will have a great new year and that we'll be ready to face whatever we have to face, knowing, like Anna and Simeon, it's all about faith. It's all about believing. You don't know how it will happen, but you know it will. And now, beloved of God, I invite you to depart in peace, knowing that you have encountered Christ our Savior. Go now to watch and to wait, to spread the light of Christ to the ends of the world, remembering that we go nowhere by accident. Whenever we go, God is sending us. Wherever we are, God has placed us there for a purpose. Christ, who indwells us, has something He wants to do through us wherever we are. May we truly believe this and go in His joy, peace, grace, and power and blessing. Amen. Peace.